Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm excited about this capital campaign. Anybody else excited about it? Man, I hope you are. I hope that what we've communicated is adequate. Not too much, not too little. You know what's going on. It's gonna be life changing for thousands. I really do believe in the next 2 years, God's gonna increase, and I want to say double, but God's gonna increase our impact and our ministry footprint in this region. You know, with the church launch, with the future church launches, and you know, I was talking to Joel today in the truck going out to St. Paul, but we're figuring this church planting, church launch thing out. And I'll tell you, the who is imperative. You guys that have done the work, interns, staff guys, Juan Charles, again, just Hall of Fame work that you're doing on it. But the lives that are going to be changed, it's just going to be amazing. It really is. And I'm excited about that. But the capital campaign, if you have. And let me just tell you, I don't know if you're supposed to tell the numbers or not. I'm just going, do you guys mind some full disclosure? We're believing God for $3 million over the next 2 years. And right now, just in pledges and commitments, we're at over $2.6 million, okay? So, and that's just a one-time ask. I'll tell you, I don't know about you guys, but so tonight, if you haven't, if you're one of those people that... That man, this is your church. You're committed here, and you hear from God. That's what we're asking you to do. The three asks are that you stand in faith with us for that $3 million. The second ask is that you believe God for the amount that you as a couple that you're going to give over the next 2 years. Okay, so whether it's weekly or monthly or we're going to have miracle offerings the next 3 weekends. The best gift offerings that is gonna go toward this capital campaign. Now listen, that's above your tithes and offerings, okay? That's above your normal tithes and regular offerings. This is something that's gonna be, and that we're, for the first time that I know of, we're throwing a sacrifice in on this offering, that it's a sacrificial offering, that, you know, it's something you may very well sacrifice something but then listen, I'm asking you just to hear from God, because I tell you, the guys that I've already talked to have the things that have happened since last Monday and last Sunday. So it's been 10 days and a week for some of them that have made that commitment. The expansion in their business is already, some of them, the new businesses come in that covered their pledge, plus tax returns are going to come in that exceed anything that they thought covered that commitment. I mean, it's just, see, that's how God is. See, so I don't want you thinking, oh, this is just about, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. The Bible says that God gives us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. See, it's about establishing his covenant. You know, that's what this is. This is about a Jesus who is relatable, who is relational, and it's about his covenant with us. And see, covenant is simply this, that the line between what's mine and what's God is gone. See, God's not holding anything back. That means everything that his is mine now. And I'm not holding anything back either. Everything that's mine is his. So we hear from God that we agree in faith for that $3 million, and then we come up with an amount. Man, and we give in this one of these miracle offerings. And I know it's a best gift offering, but I'm telling you, I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing God that the faith step that you take in the offerings that you give in the next 3 weekends, and it's not three offerings, it's just one offering. We're giving you three opportunities. Is more than enough. Listen, that puts you in a faith realm, puts you in a territory of faith in your life. That sickness, that disease, the other things that have been plaguing you. Let me tell you, man, in God's plan, he knew there were going to be mountains that we're going to have to face in our life. Do you know that? He knew that there were going to be mountains. That's why Jesus very emphatically in Mark, the 11th chapter, said, have the faith of God, the God kind of faith, and say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. You know, the world, Mark, the news of the world is going to be facts. It's going to be factual. So our brains are going to, it's going to hit our brains, and it's going to be, oh my gosh, this is real, because it's factual. It's facts. But listen, the news of the kingdom, the good news, is truth. And let me tell you what changes. Truth never changes. Facts always change. And when the truth, man, us speaking the truth, because there's power in God's word. There's power. It's power in his truth. There's no power in that fact. But in the truth, man, let me tell you, facts, they're for anybody. Any old ordinary slug out there. The truth, oh no, that's held back and kept for his sons, for his daughters, for his children. You guys believe that? Man, you agree with me on that? Man, this is a place where it's that easy. So tonight, at the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity. If you haven't filled out one of those commitment cards, please do it. Fill it out from top to bottom. Sign it. If you're here with your wife, sign it with her. All right? But sign it and put that amount on there that you're believing God for the next 2 years to give. And then please bring it up here and put it in one of these buckets after the service, okay? And how many of you guys can agree with me that we exceed the $3 million? I mean, I was with a guy today, and I'll just tell you, I was with a guy today that reaches out to, it's an older couple, and they've been doing it for a long time. They got a little church on the north side, and they reach out I guess women alcoholics. I guess that's how you say that. But it's a rescue. It's a mission and they have a place for them to live. And I just overheard in a conversation, I was eavesdropping a little bit about it, that they had the van that was given them, that the transmission went out, and it would cost more to fix a transmission than the van was worth. So you can imagine what the van probably looks like. And man, this is just a precious guy. When he's talking to me, and he's talking to me about our church, and he wasn't linking it. He and I were doing another deal. But you know, I left there and I thought, man, I'm gonna check our vans. I text Chano, I said, which one of our vans do we want to give this guy? And so I think he parked it out in the front, but I think we ought to give that guy one of our vans. I mean, my goodness, he's got a house for girls that are, man, anybody wants to help women, I believe, whether it's single mamas, whether it's alcoholic girls, whether it's, you know what else they told me? That they go to the jail and they pick people up. And a lot of times the women, Sandy, I can't believe this, but a lot of times they let the women out of David L. Moss at 2:00 in the morning. That's when they release them. I don't know. I'm just telling you guys that, man, somebody that's going to go and get out of bed and just, he said, sometimes the Lord just wakes him up. You know, he's an old guy, so he gets up and he goes, man, I got to use the restroom. And I look at my watch and it's 1:15. I wake my wife up and we're going to go to the jail, see if anybody's arrived. Where are they going to take him? Where are they going to go? And I mean, so let's give him a van. We'll give him one of our vans. You know, what the heck? But it's a big week. We're kicking off the Capitol campaign. We're leading up to Easter. What I'm believing God for is that we're the best vessels that God can use on the planet. And let me tell you how God uses people. And the key to this is that a lot of it is us inviting, recruiting, caring enough for people. Because just like that guy going to David L. Moss and picking up these girls, like women, it's men and women, but and that are let out in the middle of the night, let out of jail. I don't get that. I don't know. I don't know what the idea. I don't know. There might be something I don't know about why they do it that way, but I just don't get it. But we're going to be the best vessels that God has on this planet of. Just inviting people and getting people into church. And I'll tell you why. Because I know in my heart that Easter Sunday changes everything. Easter Sunday is, And let's just ramp it up. This week we got our church launch. Next week we got Barefoot Sunday. The third week is Easter. I mean, it's like bam, bam, bam. It's a shoot. And I'm just praying a deep conviction in all of your hearts for you to have the heart and eyes of Jesus, and that you're transformed, that you see people the way he does. See what God, because what he refers to these gals that he's housing, he and his wife, and I said, who supports you? And he said, well, we got a church in Choteau that gives us $100 a month. I'm like, wow. So it's all just out of his business. And I'm saying too much. But I also believe that in the same regard, there's people that we come in contact with that don't need to be picked up because they've been let out of jail and don't need a ride home because they've been incarcerated and have their it looks like they might have their life in order. I'll tell you the kind of church I want to pastor. I want to pastor people that aren't just looking for their kind to invite to church. Because I remember the second time God spoke to my heart, that God, I knew it was God. It was one of those audible voice times. The first time God asked me, you'd have the guts to serve me. Okay, it's like, well, I walked up the front, I put my hands up during the music and defy. It's like, okay, how about that, God? How about that for guts? And I'm just standing up there. I got my back to everybody. I got my hands up like this. People are probably thinking I'm worshiping God and having a time with the Lord. It wasn't. I was like, okay, God, I'll show you that I got the guts to serve you. But then the second time, I was out in Peoria in 1979, and God spoke to me and said, find the biggest person you can and tell them about my son. And then one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen was on an old Harley in the middle of the parking lot. And it's like, oh, you're kidding me. And those are the kind of people that, let's invite our kind. Let's invite our friends. Let's invite our family. But let's find some people that maybe could mean mug us. You know, somebody mean mugging you instead of you saying, hey, what you want some of this? What, are y'all bad all of a sudden? No, instead of that, why don't we say, hey, man, how would you like to come to church on Sunday? And you listen, I'm not talking about a goofy kind of Baptist-y I'm not talking, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm not old school, not the new Baptist, old Baptist. I'm just going to keep, I've said too much again. Does that make sense, though? I mean, we love the Baptist, don't we, Sandy? We got tons of Baptist friends. They're great cooks. They're great people. Don't you think? And some of them are watching on the internet right now, Bob. John 4. You guys bring your Bibles? Hey, let me just tell you, whenever you dig yourself into a hole, just say, hey, everybody open up your Bible. How many guys brought your Bibles? Let me see them. Let me see your Bibles. Wave them. Those are telephones. Okay, we got a few of them. Okay, there you go. Bring your Bibles. Write notes. John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Okay, this wasn't a competition. All right, because you're going to see in later verses that Jesus left there. He departed from there. And I believe because he didn't want to mess with John. I think that was a lot of it. Plus, he had to go through Samaria. But verse 2, though Jesus himself did not baptize, now listen, but his disciples. The title of the message tonight, it's awkward. It doesn't make sense unless you hear the message. But the title is, but his disciples. See, but his disciples. Listen, man, that Jesus had baptized more people than John, who Jesus followed in water baptism, but Jesus had baptized, but he didn't baptize any of them. His disciples did. See, it's not about us waiting for Jesus to come into Tulsa and do the work. I'm telling you, that work, we're on the clock. That work is in front of us now. The work order of the kingdom is for us to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in that his house may be full. It's very simple. And see, that's how we have to look at this. I mean, as strong a game face as people can have, that's like, no, I'm fine. How you doing, man? I'm good. Man, if you really knew the things that they were going through, the things that they were dealing with, the things that were trying to pull them under. Man, if we only knew. Man, I think about it. I invited a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, to the men's meeting. And you know what? I thought, man, it's too late in the afternoon. Man, it was like 5 o'clock, and I'm inviting him to a 7 o'clock men's meeting. But I thought, man, I'm going to text him. And I text him, and he said, I would love to come. And you know what? He came. And I thought about it. I thought that every part of the common sense in me thought that was a waste of time, and it was a tardy invitation at the very best. But here it is. Here we have Jesus. Is there a way for you to? Because I don't know that I can. It'll sound like I'm just pontificating if I try to start. Is there a way for you to describe what God's done in your life? Chris, can you describe what Jesus has done for you? It's like, oh my gosh. For me, it's like, where do I start? I mean, man, I'm surrounded. Listen, I'm surrounded with God's presence. Listen, that's on people's lives. I mean, Chato, I live with Sandy. It's like a dream. I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, man, but the anointing, God's presence that's on so many people that are around me. Why are you giggling? So all these people, if she starts giggling, it's over. We just turn off the lights, party's over, Sandy's giggling, okay? But what God's done in our lives, but you know what? Here we are, it's funny. You go to a new restaurant, that you order something, you really like it, man, it's so easy for you to go, man, it's a great restaurant. You should try it. I mean, how many times have you done that? 100 times? 500 times? I mean, how many times have you gone and said, oh my gosh, this restaurant is just phenomenal? And we go, hey, oh my gosh, oh, and the chicken parm is amazing. I heard somebody say that just the other day. I'm like, what the heck is chicken parm? What is a parm? But people say that, but we're slow to talk about Jesus. We're slow to talk about, and so people want to just kind of resign us to a voting block or to a group of people and you know what? I just want you to know that I'm a freak about this. That I want all of this. I want to be around people that all they want to do is stand upon God's promise and stand for God's heart and stand in the gap for people that they care about and they hear from God about. Man, are there people that you feel like are on your account? Man, there are people like that. There's old bikers here in town that I run into a couple times a year that I'll invite to church. They'll come for Easter. Man, they'll be sprinkled around the services. And man, you say, why do you keep inviting them? Because they're on my account. Because I kind of sense that when I go to heaven, I think there's going to be a list of people. I really do. I think it matters to God. I don't think God sees people as in or out. I think he sees people as his sheep. And some are just lost. And it's Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, that really honestly exploded the vision of this church in my heart, made it so real. But he said, my sheep bear the shame of the heathen, and none did search nor seek after them. They've become a prey to the beast of the field in the wilderness. Oh my gosh, that's everybody we know out of church. And you understand, the people out of church are 80% in America today. 80% of people aren't in church. 50% of people say they go to church. 20% actually do. Man, the odds are for us to find somebody that needs a church. And you'll say, well, but church isn't the deal. Oh, stop that. The church is the hope. Man, without the church, you know what we're doing? It's all petty ante ministry. It's all nickel and dime. It's all, and listen, and I'm telling you, our personal ministry is huge. But without the church, what we can do together, where every joint supplies, where we're truly members of a body, man, where are you gonna go that you're gonna get a word day in and day out, a strong word of God? Man, I'm in the offices almost every day, all the time here. You know what? I'll walk by offices and the word's being preached, the word's going forth. Man, somebody's sitting there and it's the word that's coming out of people's mouth. We put such a value on God's word. People need to hear this. People need to be able to grab a hold of it. Man, it's gotta be, it can't be abstract the way I think. Man, it's gotta be A, B, C, go. It's gotta be soft taught where people can catch it and tuck it and grab it and go. Man, let's go break a couple tackles, man. Let's take a shot in life. Do you understand that a lot of things that we have to overcome, it's like returning a kickoff or returning a punt. Anybody ever in here ever in high school or college or you ever returned a kickoff or a punt? Can I see your hands? You just got to make somebody miss. That's all it is. Man, Coach Norvell, his son, he comes to this church. He spoke a little bit Monday night. He's a defensive coordinator at the University of Tulsa. His son plays for the Broncos. Sandy and I are there. It was my birthday present, and we're sitting there. And here's Coach Norwood. Did I say Norvell? I meant Norwood. Coach Norwood, Norvell's in Memphis. Okay, we'll root for him too. But Coach Norwood, his son, is number 11. And let me tell you, he's number 11 because I don't know that a squiggly number would have fit on his jersey because he's about this wide, all right? So he's number 11, all right? That tickled you, didn't it? But so he catches this punt. You guys might have saw it. And there's two Panthers that are covering that kick, all right? He didn't fair catch, but they both, it's amazing, they both assumed that he did. So he caught that punt and both of them ran into him, like bumped him. And they bumped him and both of them jumped back like this because they didn't want to get penalized for hitting a guy after he'd fair catched. But he didn't fair catch it. He didn't put his hand up. So he caught it and he just waited for a second. They both bumped into him and they both backed off and he took off running. That's what God gives us, that ability. We just gotta make something, we gotta make that enemy miss one time. Man, if the devil has deceived you and coerced you into thinking that man, you could never get ahead, that it's month to month. Let me just tell you, hear from God. Man, this capital campaign will prove to you that life is better than month to month. Because you know what month to month is scripturally? Poverty. Bondage is not having enough. Poverty is just having enough. But God didn't call us to have just enough. Some of you guys that were raised in a church where they'll say, no, God won't give you more than you need. They don't know the word. Man, all God does is give us more than we need. Man, more than we could ask, think, or imagine. That's more than we need. See, we can't go by old religion. And that's why Jesus in the fourth chapter of John, man, he decided, he went to Jacob's well to get a drink in the heat of the day. And there's a Samaritan woman that's there. And she says, and he said, hey, can you give me something to drink? She said, you have nothing, this well's deep, you have nothing to draw with. And why would you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for something to drink? There's confliction between our two societies. See, there's all these excuses that we could have. Man, I'll tell you, we've got to be a church. We've got to be a people. We've got to be Christians. And Christians don't make excuses. We're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we look at this, so these excuses don't work. Common excuses are, man, but I'm afraid. And I think we all deal with that. Let me tell you something. When that ball's in the air and you're returning a punt, and they got those guys, what do they call those guys, Taylor, that are coming? Huh? Gunners? Yeah. Yeah. They're gonna blow you up. That's why they're calling them gunners. So there should be a little, man, I think I'm afraid. The ball's hanging in the air, and these really fast, strong, powerful, like physics comes into play. I'm standing flat-footed to catch the ball and they're running at full steam toward me, okay? But so you know what an excuse could be? Man, I'm afraid. How about if we look at that, man, we look at something and it's, man, nothing is happening. And I've tried, I've done it. How many guys have ever had that? How many guys have ever tried to really serve God, tried to give, tried to serve, tried to do things? And you're like, man, nothing's happening. Man, that's the deception of the enemy. I'll tell you what happens in my life. For a little bit, what's visible is nothing. And you know what? I'm doing it because God promised, and I know there's a reward on the other side of it. So it's like, I'm going to do it. And it's like, wait a second, but where's the reward? And you know what I've got to deal with? Doubt. And what does the Bible say in Mark, the 11th chapter? Man, if you say this mountain, be removed and be cast to the sea, and don't receive or harbor any doubt in your heart. Oh my gosh, God, we deal with doubt all day. Doubts are coming just like this. Bam, 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 bam. And you know what? I'm not receiving them. I'm not receiving any doubts. Man, we're singing that song and saying that. We're talking how powerful the verse is that backs that song up. That Psalm 27, 13, that I would have lost hope if I hadn't believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the next verse said, I will wait upon the Lord and he will give me courage, and my God is faithful every time. See, we have to look at this and understand, man, God's faithful. So no matter what you see or how you feel, something's happening. Something's happening. Your eyes don't have to see it. Your pocket doesn't have to be filled with it. Man, God's doing a work that you can't imagine. It's so great. Man, you might say, I'm not qualified. Man, oh my gosh. Let me just tell you, if you deal with not feeling like that you're qualified, get in line. It's behind me though, because I'm at the head of that line. I'm in that line every day of my life. But you know what? God tells me, see, what I have to do, I understand this faith is verbal, right, T. Cole? This faith, the faith, write that down. This faith that we live is verbal. We have to speak it to activate it. Okay, we believe it and therefore speak it. Believe and speak. This faith is verbal. See, the fiery darts of the evil one, how do we overcome them? By the shield of faith. What's a shield of faith? It's the words that we speak. And that shield, that becomes a shield and a sword, all right? So with this being verbal, man, when I speak the word, guess what? All my enemies are scattered. All the plans of the enemy are voided. And see, and what happens is, man, it qualifies me. See, God's word qualifies me. Man, look at Exodus 4:12. I live by that verse, don't I, Sandy? Go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. Man, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what to say. Man, all these people. Man, there might be people in here that, man, you're dealing with an unwanted pregnancy. You might be dealing with suicide. You might be dealing with divorce. You might be, how can I have the words to, there's no way. But you know what? Man, God promised Moses, he's no respecter of persons. His promises are yes and amen. Go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. I live by that. I'll tell you, Dick Mills gave me that word, my goodness, 30 years ago. Man, some of you guys might think you're ordinary, and you are. And the glory of being ordinary is that's who God uses. God uses ordinary people like me. Man, you're thinking, well, I don't have the skill. I don't know what box you have to check as a skill to trust God. I think one time in my life, somebody came up to me and said, man, I'll tell you what, your singing is really good. I sing multiple times a week. I'm 58 years old. One time. I don't know if you remember that, Sandy. The older woman, she probably needed some hearing aids or something, but she came up to me and she said, oh my goodness, you should sing more. I think Sandy wanted to punch her. Some of you guys might feel like you made too many mistakes. Man, when we go to preach to people, think, man, other people have weirded people out, and I can't do it because they'll think I'm weird like them. See, that's all the devil. Those are all just excuses. Man, other people haven't ruined it. People are still hungry for God. People still are looking for the answer, but the bottom line is we need people in our lives. That's why people need to be at church. Why we need to invite people at church. We need people in our lives who won't let us sell ourselves short. And I'll tell you, this is something God really put on my heart. I wanna rebuke you tonight. I wanna chastise, I wanna correct you, whatever I have to do. Don't sell yourself short anymore. You know, do you understand I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is the truth? It is. It's the truth. And I'll tell you, I don't want to live my life anymore trying to have bite-sized pieces. I don't want to live my life anymore with things that, oh yeah, we can handle that, we can do that, that's easy. Man, I remember when the ice storm hit 7 or 8 years ago. Mayor Taylor called and said, can I meet with you? And I met with her and she said, can you help us dig our city out? They couldn't get any of the city trucks or equipment out. And you know what I heard myself saying? Well, yes. Yes, I can. And Mayor LaFortune, after the Katrina hit, we were walking. He came in the north entrance. I saw him. We met in the lobby. We were walking into the, how far is that? It's 30 feet, 40 feet. Within those 40 feet, he asked me, he said, oh my gosh, are you guys doing anything about the storm that just hit the coast, Katrina? And I was just thinking about it. I said, yeah, we need to. He goes, okay, I'll partner with you. I said, okay. The next thing you knew, we adopted a city, Gulf Shores, Long Beach, Mississippi. Man, I'm talking to the governor of Mississippi. I'm talking to the mayor and the city council of Long Beach. And you know what? 2 days later, I'm on a jet flying down there, and I see this devastation, and it's just a few days after the storm hit. Nothing was happening, and we're sending teams down there. See, it's action. A Christian, our lives are about action. I didn't get to my message tonight. But our lives are about action. And I want you to know that Jesus, go to the last notes, just the last bullet points, okay? You got to read John 4 and just read it and think about what I'd say about it. Try to make some good stuff too, okay? But here's the three things that Jesus is in John 4, is he's relational, and this is with a woman that he's not supposed to be talking to because of society. There wasn't any weird stuff going on there. Relational, relatable, and relevant. Man, we're relational. All relational means we're connective. We can't do this alone. That's why the church is so invaluable for people. And they'll think they can. I think I can sometimes. I'll get around other ministers and I'll think, man, I need to do this more. It's probably one of the biggest needs of my life. You know why? I realize I can't do this alone. I need connection. And you know what? That's what us being relational is. Jesus was relational. Jesus was also relatable. Man, he was touch everything that we deal with, he dealt with everything, and Jesus was relevant. And in this sense, kind of a working definition of us being relevant is it's appropriate to time, conditions, and circumstances. The circumstances. You know, this woman at the well who thought Jesus was going to reject her. She questioned, you know, Jesus said, you know, I have water that you can drink, you'll never thirst again. She had to be thinking, what the heck are you talking about? The next thing you know, she's going and she's telling, listen, everybody, this man, this Jewish man, very ordinary, just a simple man, just wanted a drink, told me everything about my life. She told everybody. You know, I've heard it said that she's the first evangelist. And here she was, listen, married 5 times with a man that she wasn't married to. And God, and this commission came on her life. You know what comes alive to me is the promise that I didn't pick Jesus. I didn't choose Jesus. He chose me. That's what he said. He said, look, I chose you, but listen, and I appointed you, purposed you. See, Jesus at Jacob's well with this Samaritan woman that was drawing water in the middle of the day when you weren't, there was a hot, the heat of the day. And Jesus related to her. Jesus made it relevant to her. The relationship with God sparked in her, and he purposed her life. And that's what I believe in God for. The people that I invite, that you invite, I'm just telling you, I'm believing God for dynamic messages, for incredible music, for warm, friendly environment and culture of a church and people. That it's real. So to help purpose people's lives. Think about 80% of people living around us without purpose. I'm moved with compassion because I know how important purpose is. And I understand my purpose is to help people live their purpose. That's what my whole purpose. And I kind of think part of your purpose is too.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.